Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Welcome to the Songwriter Connection, the podcast that delves deep into the art and heart of songwriting. Each week, we gather around the dining room table to uncover the stories behind the songs. We invite you to join us on a journey to the creative minds of the songwriters who shape the melodies of our lives. From Nashville, Tennessee, here's your host, Dave Lenihan.
Approaching 1 million worldwide streams, and we're so happy and proud of that. Thank you for sharing it. Trying a little something different today. Is this TikTok Live?
Yes, this is TikTok Live.
TikTok Live, awesome. Right? I've always been... So you're getting a free peek in. You know, this doesn't really publish until like it's the 24th of July, mm-hmm. but we're getting a sneak peek on TikTok today. So you kind of... Here we are behind the scenes. Yeah. Nobody needs to see my fat face anyway. So I'm a radio guy. But we have guest Kennedy Taylor here.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, it's so good to introduce you and make the contact with this lovely lady.
I'm so happy to be here.
What a talent she is, I'm telling you. We're going to play you her music and tell you all about the exciting things she's doing. And then we have Barrier.
Hola.
Scott Barrier. And you know... Every other podcast, we talk about Scott because he writes with everybody in town. And you can't go to a writer's round in this town without hearing somebody go, here's a song I wrote with Scott Barrier.
Yeah,
including me.
It blows my mind, I'll be honest, because a lot of people tell me that all the time. I'm like, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Even when you're not playing, you're playing.
I'm there.
You're there.
It's amazing to me. And I mean, I'm not going to lie. It was kind of a goal. As we talked about, I formed the way that my writing career based on these writers that have written with many, many people.
Yeah.
And so
I wanted to talk a bit about that because you have a great philosophy about writing around rather than writing up, and explain the difference in what it's all about.
Yeah. Well, writing around is being open to opportunities that a songwriter can fall into from writing with various types of artists of different genres, and then being willing to take a risk on new writers that are green, that have potential, or just being open to people that approach you that you think you can work well with, and giving them at least one shot in a writing session. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But for me, it's more than the songwriting too. It's the experience that I share with people through as I go through life. And so for me, it's also part of the journey. But I also learn from some very successful songwriters like Jim Lauderdale. He's really the one that I have created my journey based on his life, because he was so successful. And he's the one that imparted that wisdom. I asked him, I said, what's your secret? Because, you know, he had like hundreds and hundreds of major label cuts. Man. And I was like, how did you do that? And he said, I write around. And I was like, what does that mean? So he's the one that taught me that. Mm-hmm. And I thought one day, I told him, Jim, I'm going to be you one day.
Wow.
Of course,
and you're on your way.
He laughed at me.
Yeah. You know, but. Count how many cuts you've had, indie cuts. You've got songs streaming everywhere, don't you?
Yes. I'm at about 100 songs recorded by... And independent artists, and about 30 to 40 singles out of that.
That's awesome.
Yeah, along with some songs in film and TV. So they're bouncing all over the place. Very happy.
Yeah.
Very happy.
And of course, quite recently, another release from Kennedy Taylor.
That is where we're headed today with the amazing Kennedy Taylor.
Yes. Thank you, guys. You know, couldn't do it without you.
We need to talk about the experience and everything that you've been through, because you're relatively new to Nashville. How long have you been here?
So I've been here since July 18th, 2022, which is crazy because that's when the song's coming.
Did you do that on purpose?
No, that was totally accidental. I just thought of that, actually. So that's crazy. But yeah, it was July 18th of 2022 is when I first moved here. That was our first night.
Hey, you can remember the exact date. It was June 18th. Of 2013 that we moved here.
Wow.
It's funny how you still remember that date.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it was a big change.
Oh, yeah. It was a huge change. I moved all the way from California. Mm-hmm. It's from Orange County.
California. Mm-hmm. Do you surf?
Oh, I wish I did. I street performed though. I mean, can I get away with that?
Yes, you can. Yeah. And I wanted to ask you about that experience. You were doing street performance and busking, a lot of people call it.
Oh, yeah.
But you were doing it where? Newport Beach,
yeah, right in the heart of Newport Beach. So like there's a Charlie's Chili, there's a Jane's Corn Dogs, and there was like a little globe. I swear, there was a little globe in the middle, and I would just, you know, sat my stuff right down there and just started playing. I mean, I did that for like 10 years.
You know, 10 years. Wow. How old were you when you did that?
Yeah. I was like 11 or
that's
like 10.
Phenomenal. That's great.
11.
But I started out with a little ukulele.
There is video of you. One of the local stations shot on your webpage I was looking at. You had a drummer with you, and you know what it's happening. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, that was cool.
Now, I imagine that is, what a great experience to help sharpen your performing chops, because they, I mean, this is immediate reaction out there, people loving you or they don't, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's always either people love me or hate me. It's like, there's not really an in between.
I think the good news is by the time you really get out there, you're going to have so many people that love you. Yes. Who cares about the haters? That's what I say.
Yeah, that's what I say too. But what I mean is the immediate feedback, you know, people drop money in, you know, and stuff. Then yeah, there's a good song right there. But it strengthened you as a performer, didn't it?
Oh yeah. So there was my dad and I would always talk about it, but there was like one of those performing arts high schools in the area.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, Dad, this would be so cool if I was able to get into this. And I got denied like 3 or 4 times.
Oh.
But then my dad was telling me, he's like, you know what? That is such a blessing. You never got into that because you learned so much more street performing than probably what you would have learned there.
I would have to agree.
It opened my eyes in so many different ways. You know, I made the closest friends with everybody who was there. You know, there was people who were homeless that like you would never bat an eye towards. Mm-hmm. And I just fell in love with them. They're great, amazing people. I mean, I met a woman named Terry. I always called her Theory. And I don't have any contact with her now, which is crazy because like her phone number just like disconnected. And I'm like, I hope you're okay. I love you so much.
Terry, if you're listening,
you're
watching on TikTok.
I love you and I miss you so much, Terry. But she was like, honestly, my best friend growing up. Like she's probably like in her 50 to 60. But she would always protect me. She knew me when I was like 11. She's like, I want to be front row at your concert when you're big. And I would just literally take all my tips. You know, it was like 9 hours or whatever. I said, Terry, let's go to lunch. So I would just treat her, and she, I'll never forget this. There was one day where she, I don't even know where she got the money, but she was like living out of her car, and she so badly wanted to take me to lunch. And she took me out to lunch, and I was like, I'm gonna cry. And then right as I moved from you know, California to Nashville, she got like, you know, the government helped her and she got a house.
Oh, well, good for her.
She got a place of her own. I was just like I was crying. I was sobbing. I was so happy for her. And I was like, you know what? At least I can leave knowing that she's okay and she's safe. And that just, you know, meant the world to me.
What a great story.
But she really is like the entire reason that I feel like I am the way that I am.
Wow.
And I do owe a lot to her.
Well, that's amazing. And all of you listening out there, that's why we call her the amazing Kennedy. Not just musically. She's just a beautiful soul.
She really is. Yeah. And you know what I noticed when I first saw you? I think the first time I saw you perform was at the Commodore Grill. And you had not been here all that long.
No.
And what I was surprised at was how polished of a performer you were already. Mm-hmm. At that, and you were roughly, what, 18, 19?
So naive.
Yeah. But no, you got up there like you owned the stage. And you
did. You still brought it, I mean, regardless.
Yeah.
Well, it's just crazy because you guys knew me like right from the start. And I feel like there's just been so much growth in between then. As if you guys, when you moved here, you guys have had so much growth. And you're immensely talented. It's an honor to work with both of you.
Aww. But
we'll pay you later.
Exactly. Thank you.
It's been crazy. It's been such a cool ride to have. And to like, there's a lot of highs and lows, as you know. But like, just saying like, this is how much I've done, you know, since 2022, July 18th. Like, that's just crazy to say. Like,
something?
We have a whole EP that you got. I had the pleasure of co-writing with both of you coming out. And the world finally has it. It feels like it's like postpartum. Like, I'm like, now suddenly depressed because all of this music I have is just released. I'm like, wait, what do I do now?
You work on the next
one.
Keep going. Right.
There's
just
something
going.
So weird about just putting it out there where you're just like, oh, wait, like you guys can have it now?
It's finally out there.
That's right. All the build up, all the hype and all the work. And you're like, wow.
I must admit, you're doing a wonderful job at promoting it, getting on TikTok and putting little videos out there. You're really getting the word out about yourself.
Thank
and
you.
Maybe you can share a little bit about that philosophy there.
Yeah.
Because we have a lot of DIY artists out there. You know,
there are a lot.
You know.
It's really all independent these days, but I'm really just like learning as I go. I truly don't even know what I'm doing, but I even talked to, there's an amazing artist called Stephen Day, and I was at Bar Taco, out of all places, and I run into this guy. I run into this amazing artist. Like, I listen to him constantly, and I was like, those sideburns is definitely Stephen Day. And I walk over, and I just like, so I was sitting with, you know, my boyfriend, and we were just sitting at the table, and he like walks outside. He was at the table next to us. He walks outside. I go outside, and I run over, and I was like, I can never forgive myself. I didn't even bring my phone. I just ran. I said, hey, you know, excuse me. I just wanted to say, like, I love your music. And, you know, I hate stopping people too. Like, just don't want to bother them. Like, they're just like, and he was so small. He was so sweet. He was just like, hey, dude, like, that's so great to meet you. Like, and he was like, do you do music too? And we just started talking. And I was like, I would just never forgive myself if I never talked to you. But then I go, what's your secret with like posting and the algorithm of TikTok? Like, I can't seem to crack it. He goes, I couldn't even tell you myself. I don't know.
That's usually how it goes. Is sometimes you get lucky and people grab onto it and then it just takes off. Just takes off.
We all tend to migrate to AL, who's been on this podcast. Yeah. Who I want to get on again. Yeah. Who's just a genius with this stuff.
She is. Yeah. Yeah. She's a marketing genius.
Her and brother Joe, who I'd love to have them both on sometime. Mm-hmm. They did this. If you haven't watched this duet of them doing, was Garth Brooks the Dance?
Forget the Dance. Is that what it was called? Is that what that? Remember the Dance.
Remember the Dance.
Yes. Always remember Us This Way. Right. And then the
That's
dance.
Right.
Remember. Which is what, like a half a billion streams already?
Yeah.
Maybe more.
You know, on TikTok. Yeah.
Yeah. She knows how to do it.
I'd say so.
In fact, you know, exciting behind the scenes stuff. We just called her.
Yeah, we did.
Prior to the podcast. AL, how do we do this?
Help us, AL.
And she's always wonderful to help us. So, yeah, she's a marketing genius when it comes to that. So
she's wonderful.
Yeah, and another good heart. Another good, just good person.
Yes, absolutely. Now, so you grew up on the West Coast, and that's a different lifestyle, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. It's definitely so different out there. Like, when I moved here, it was just like an awakening. I was like, what is happening?
Yeah. Is it a slower pace, you think?
What's
the big difference?
I feel like I'm not trying to like shade anybody over there, but let me start with that. I feel like there's a sense of like paradise over in California where it's just so beautiful. And the like actual location was insane. Like, I can't believe I lived there. And like the beach was beautiful to wake up to every day. However, the people are wonderful. I sure this is not everybody, but I feel like I really was so miserable there at the same time of like living in paradise. I feel like genuinely, like, it was just like, I couldn't form a good connection with a lot of people, but that's also probably like problems I should talk to a therapist about. I'm just kidding. No, I
just
feel like
songs.
I was
going to
say that's our therapy. Yeah. Songwriting.
Yeah. Songwriting helps. No, I feel like especially the people I was really able to connect with, like, really was like the people I was talking to at the pier, you know, like they just were amazing people. But a good example is there'd be so many people that would like I was telling you about, like with the homeless people, they wouldn't even bat an eye. Like, they'd have like a Louis Vuitton bag and like obviously doing super well off, like amazing for you. I love that for you. But when they would just look at them like they were nothing and just like, just scowl at them like it's like they would spit at them or something, you know, just like kind of like that. It just
like
made me really sad.
Spit at people?
I mean, they could.
Oh, wow.
But it made me so sad. Yeah. And I think it was just, I was surrounded in that energy all the time. Yeah. If that's a good way to word it, without shading anybody, you know, like, I love it over there. It's beautiful. A lot of my close friends are still there.
That's good. Do you visit? Get back to visit?
I have not yet.
Yeah.
It has been
hard.
It has been a journey.
Yeah. Well, and you came from a showbiz background too, didn't you? Your father?
Yeah.
Actor,
yeah. My parents, they did acting, and until my dad had to stop because he got skin cancer, and then they kind of like settled down.
I didn't know that. I didn't know what his reason was for that. Wow.
But they were grinding it for a while. He was in like the Elvira movies. I look up to my dad immensely. He is like a huge inspiration of mine. So is my mom. But they both, like, they were doing commercials. They started their own acting agency, or like, it was more of like a, you know, they would help get your kid in all of these commercials. And, you know, my mom was amazing at that. I don't think it was an agency. It was just one of those. Like, they called it Star Kids.
Star Kids.
And Olivia Rodrigo is actually a part of it. Like,
No kidding.
People probably think I'm, like, big dogging and capping. But, like, I literally have, like, an old headshot of her from, like, when she was very, very little. She was, like, literally, like, toddler, like, she's very, very little. But it was really cool to just see my parents get to do that, and it was their own business. And then I think they just kind of stopped because it was a huge mental toll on my mom to like just see all of these kids be thrown into it, and then like she'd put in all this work and not get much back. You know, with like, they just kind of stopped using her, they would just go somewhere else, or they wouldn't show up to auditions. So like, that was the tough part. But it was like a really awesome experience. And then they kind of, they're thinking about starting another one up here in Tennessee.
Are they?
They're,
really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. Yeah.
They're wanting to kind of do that. And I was like, if it's your dream, screw it. Do it.
Do it.
Yeah.
So that's for acting, is that correct? Or just all kind
for
of
acting.
Entertainment?
Yeah. Okay. 100% acting. Like they're huge on acting. And yeah. It's just like, I'm like, dude, go for your dream.
Is that something you would consider doing, or had you ever?
Yeah. You know, I used to do theater. I was a theater kid.
Yeah. Okay. That surprised me.
But I definitely wouldn't be opposed to it. It's something that would challenge me a lot.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I feel like singing is so different. And I feel like that's when I feel like I'm in my most natural element. But it would be something I'd be so open to, because it's just very, like, you know, something so different. But it would challenge me a lot.
Mm. Well, let's get into some of that singing.
Speaking of which, yes.
This is, I'm just so proud of these tracks.
Me too.
I didn't produce
me
them, too. But I was there at some of the times you were recording them. And we recorded them at County Q here in Nashville. What was your producer name?
Paul Childers.
Paul Childers.
Amazing.
Genius.
He is. Amazing artist.
Yeah.
Amazing producer.
And we preach a lot about being your own genre, doing your own thing. And that's what I love about you. Kendi, you really have... found your own niche.
And
what you do is different from what I'm hearing around town, you know? And I think that's good. That's a good thing, because the best artists out there, I am still convinced to this day, have come to where they are because they created their own genre.
And
we talk again about Taylor Swift, and there wasn't a Taylor before Taylor, and there wasn't a Dolly before Dolly. And all the big stars today, you think about it, they went their own way, and the world caught up to them, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's what you do. And I'd like to
But real quick, Dave, that's a very important point, because a lot of artists that are not in country come here and they think they have to be country to make it.
It's not true.
And I tell them over and over again, because you and I work with a lot of young artists and people coming up, be true to you. Be true to your heart,
right?
Because that's where you're going to connect with people. If it is real for you and it's emotional for you and you're natural, like you said, you feel like your natural place is singing, that's going to translate and touch people.
Absolutely.
So I encourage them, don't try to be something you're not, because you think that's going to get you your career. Like you're saying, Dave, really what's getting you your career is finding what's true to you and what's in your heart and just go after it.
And then finding your people.
And then the people that love you for that. Yes.
Right.
And build it.
Well, I want to play one of these songs. And should we start with the one that you released first?
Yes.
Okay. Which is a special song. And tell us why.
Well, that one's special because I wrote it in the Ryman. And I was working there as a tour guide, which you know a little bit about.
Yeah, I've done that too.
Dave was also a fellow tour guide. It was just such a blessing. It was one of those, like, too good to be true. You know what I mean? It just sounds like it's straight out of, like, a fairy tale how it happened. But I was sitting on the couch one day, and I was, like, talking to my significant other, and it was the cringiest statement I think I've, like, ever said. But I was like, oh, my God, like, I love you so much, and I feel like I would say, like, I could say that as many times, and just, like, I will say it a million times more. It was 500 times more. That's what I said in the moment. And he goes, that's such a good hook for a song. Please write that.
Smart guy.
And then I wrote, like, you know, the first verse a little bit, and then it was, like, kind of the chorus when I came in, and I hit you guys up, and I was like, hey guys, like, I have this song. But when I was writing it, I was by the Ask Me Questions sign at the Ryman, and I just
that's funny.
They got
that's
so funny. Mad at me. They were like, cannot write on the clock. What?
Yeah, right,
like, what are you doing? And I was like, dude, I'm sorry. Like, y'all are a music venue. Can you understand a little bit? But I wrote those lines, and I just came home, and I had this, like, melody in my head, and I sat down, and I really just got to know the lyrics, and I wrote them down on, like, I think one of those little, like, papers that they had at the Ryman. Like, I was, like, writing it on paper the old-fashioned way, but I was, like, doing it while I was checking people in. I was like, oh my God, I gotta scan this person. Jerk.
Oh, I know, they loved you.
You know,
then.
And I got so mad because they'd get in my, like, creative space as I'm thinking, and I'm like, it's right on my tongue. It's on the tip of my tongue, and somebody's like, hi, what is this? I'm like, you don't know what the Ryman is. Are you serious?
Yeah,
like,
that's funny.
Spare yourself from coming in and asking the embarrassing question of, like, what is this? I'm sure you got that all the time, but that's really.
I remember one guy in particular. Why should I come in here? What's special about the Ryman?
It's like, why am I selling you on the Ryman? It's like, you just come here if you want to come.
I didn't know that you had that kind of thing going on.
It's like, I don't know, man. I'm getting paid like $16 an hour for this. Yeah. Like, I'm just trying to like sell you on this.
What that tells me, too, is you're definitely truly a songwriter, because that's the songwriter's life. You're always trying not to be distracted. Something right. hits you, and there's all this stuff going on. You're like, hold on.
Hold on.
Right there, down.
One second. But that's why it's so magical. All
right. Truly.
Well, let's give it a listen. This is A Million Times. Kennedy Taylor. These tracks, they're awesome. Mm-hmm. And you stick around, listen to the whole podcast, because you've got to hear all of these songs. Got to be proud of that.
It's bringing back the memes. Yeah, I'm so proud of it. I'm so happy with it.
I love it.
It is amazing. It came out so good.
It really did.
Oh my gosh.
Exactly what I dreamed it would come out. Yeah.
What wonderful. I loved about getting together and writing with you, you'd come in with ideas already formed. Like that one right there. You had a lot of that already written. And Scott and I just helped put the structure to it.
And we loved it. As soon as you played it, we're like, oh, yeah. Like, we have to finish that song.
Absolutely.
I was like, well, as soon as I wrote that, and I think I got in the car after we kind of came together, but it was right as I wrote like the very wee beginning in like the chorus. Yeah. I had like the slight ideas. You guys really helped shape it, really. I mean, you guys made the song, but I was like shaking as I was really? Like, I was in the car shaking and I was calling, I was calling who it was about. And I was like, hey, hey, just so you know, like I wrote this and like, I'm just going to show you, even though it's not even finished. I was like, there's so much left to be done. I think I'm going to take it to Scott and Dave. Mm. And I was like, I was shaking and they're on FaceTime as they're listening to it. And I was like, oh, I'm going to have like a panic attack. I was like, their reaction to it was so stupid. Like they were just like, oh, that was really good, Kennedy. I was like, thank you. Like, wow.
Really?
Keep doing what you're
but
doing.
You guys helped me out because it was originally, I'll say that I love you 500 times. And you guys were like, I will walk 500 miles. It's like, okay, maybe not. But yeah, you guys were like, let's do a million. That just really, the second we locked that in, I was like, that's the hook. And it just wrote like it was butter. It was just so easy. The rest of the song wrote itself.
Yeah.
I think that was one of our faster writes.
It flowed out. Yeah, it flowed out really.
Yeah.
Are you sure we can't mention who it was written about?
Oh, I mean, we can. He drummed on the track.
He was in the sessions.
He was the drummer.
Yeah, he was part of this.
Oh, come on. Let's give a shout out to St. Nick.
Nick Davidson, yeah, he drummed on the track as well. Paul Childers produced it, Paul did such an amazing job.
Yes, he did.
It was just really magical going into the studio and doing all that.
And he brought in instruments that you would like. If I did hear this before, I forgot it. But like the accordion in there, is so beautiful.
Was that the accordion?
He was trying to talk about. He was saying that. He was trying to make it sound like it was like a French cafe or, you know, something like, he was like, this forms it and it gives it that old timey sound. And I was
it's romantic. It's very romantic element to the song.
It was the perfect touch to it. I was like, I didn't know I needed this until you showed me this and now I can't live without it. So
that's the hallmark of a great producer.
And they can hear these things. Dude.
For sure.
He's amazing.
He's awesome.
Absolutely. He's just incredible. you know, I want to play another one that just came out a month before. You're releasing every month, right?
Yeah.
Once a month. Okay. Oh.
Well, you know what? I wanted to ask you the decision that goes into that. Because, again, we have a lot of indie artists and writers that that ask, you know, how often should I release a song? Why did you come out with every month?
I'm honestly milking it. Like, I literally am, like, so broke.
Oh, I see. Okay.
I have the money now.
It gives me enough time. Like, this was a whole year in the making, like you guys know. Mm-hmm. But it gives me enough time. Like, we did the music video for it, and that was just such a blessing to do. How that happened was crazy. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. I met a woman at an old job I used to work at. She has, like, a 42-acre property, you know, in Leaper's Fork. And I was so blessed that she let us use that property. And my parents starred in it.
Yeah.
You know, I was like a young couple and then like middle-aged couple and then an older couple. And I met somebody also at the same old job I used to work at that they were like an older couple. They agreed to be in it. Such a good time. Cool. But
video is streaming.
It gave me enough time. Yes, it is streaming. It is on YouTube. You can find it everywhere a million times. Kennedy Taylor. It gave me enough time, long story short, as I'm like having ADHD and cannot finish the conversation. Gave me enough time to really actually, you know, save up for everything. And it's like so exciting at the same time. But, you know, I feel like all of this, that's why I'm saying there's like this, like, what do I do now sense of like,
I know,
you know, you're always looking for the next thing, but it took so long to save up for it. And you guys were just like the biggest blessing that just came into my life right as I moved here.
We're the blessed ones.
Yeah, we are. Absolutely.
Yeah. And I'm so proud of what you've done. And where you're going.
I think I went home and literally legitimately cried after you gave me the okay. And I talked to you. It was up to you because then Dave was like, I'm all in. If you guys want to do it, we'll all pitch in for the project. And then you said, let's do it.
Let's do it.
I was shaking again, shocker. Oh. And I cried. And I cried so hard. I was like, this is like literally the first big thing that I feel like I've just had the beautiful chance to get my hands on. It was one of those, like, we just have to do it. And I was like, please, for the love of God.
It needed it. We knew it.
I felt they were special. Yeah. And then, you know, then to Paul again, he exceeded expectations.
He did.
These tracks were beyond what I ever, I mean, I thought they could be good, you know. Productions.
Well, after I heard his music, which also, by the way, he produces music, he does his own stuff, and that sounded amazing.
Oh, yeah.
I really drew into a lot of, I feel like we tie into similar inspirations, but
makes sense.
It was the only fitting producer I feel like I found in Nashville, because he's very on the same like wavelength as I am as far as like what I want it to look like. And he just like gets it. I feel like, like I was telling you, it's like dating in Nashville. You have to find different people that click well with you. And I was like, you are awesome. But he,
I
he just
be
got
your
it.
Friend.
Yeah, he just got it. And he knew what I wanted without even asking. That's truly all I even want at, for a producer is just to know before.
Does not happen a lot. Let me tell you, trying to find that combination sometimes, you know, takes some, a few tries, you know.
Let me ask, what did you tell him going into it that that you wanted to hear?
I said, I want you to have the full creative freedom. I said, I, you know, I trust you. I love your music and I love horns, but we did not disclose we wanted horns until later, which cost us a little bit more.
Yeah.
But I was just like, I love, like, these are my inspirations. I was like, I really actually, like, I would listen to his music all the time. I'd put on Love Again and I'd be like, this slaps. Like, you know, I just, I didn't even think I even needed to tell him much. I just said, you know, I want to, here's the songs. We met up like before we even did the studio session and we kind of just went over the songs and he kind of got it immediately. I didn't have to say much. I said, I want us to have the creative freedom. Obviously I know Scott and Dave are just as big of a, you know, say in on this because, you know, they also wrote on it, but I just want you to not feel like you're in your own bubble and like we're sheltering you from exploring other avenues. I was like, I want to just, if you have a horrible idea, just say it. And then we can just like say no. I was like, I do not care.
Well, what was funny when you did your release party, like he took me aside. He's like, man, it was so nice to be on a project with songs with more than four chords in them. You know, because it's, because it was so nice to have more of a playground with more chords and songs.
It really is something else. He's got a great guitar too. I thought he had one of the, he had a, it was a Tele, wasn't it? A Tele? And it was all like beat up and, you know, it was, and they're selling those now that look, you know, like they're antique, you know, with chips and stuff out of it. And I said, wow, where did you get that? He goes, that's it was like a 1957 original Tele. I'm like, whoa, I didn't mean to touch it.
You know?
Awesome. It's, I'm a guitar nerd. So we're going to take a little break. When we come back, there are three more songs that I want you to hear from the lovely and talented Kennedy Taylor with us today. Don't go.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to six guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
If you're the purchasing manager at a manufacturing plant, you know having a trusted partner makes all the difference. That's why, hands down, you count on Grainger for auto reordering. With on-time restocks, your team will have the cut-resistant gloves they need at the start of their shift. And you can end your day knowing they've got safety well in hand. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You're listening to The Songwriter Connection with Dave Linehan. Find us on Facebook and YouTube at The Songwriter Connection Podcast. And find Dave at thedaveconnection.com. Now back to the show with your host, Dave Linehan.
Although we're not a video podcast per se yet, we're still talking about that. I mean,
except
I
for today on TikTok.
Today on TikTok.
You know, Dave just graced us with the ability to do that, by the way.
I am going to have to buy a tripod. And we
I just threw it out there.
All the time. You never know. This may have started a trend here. But anyway, I wanted you to go to YouTube, if you could, and click that subscribe, if you would, and like it, because we're trying to build the audience there, too. All right. Kennedy Taylor, Scott Barrier, they're our guests. Waterfall Tears is the next one I want to play. And that was the second one that you released, and that one came out in June?
June 18th,
the day I knew.
We're following the 18th, right? I was like, damn, this is nice.
A song about the 18th.
Clockwork. Or,
exactly, right.
I just got lazy is what it was.
This is what I remember about the writing of this song. You came in, again, with an idea formed, and you know, yeah, you can write a song about, I'm just so sad, I'm going to cry. But she said, I'm crying waterfall tears. Mm-hmm. And I never, I mean, as soon as you, I don't think that's a thing, but as soon as you said it, I'm like, oh, I get it. And having never heard it put that way, I thought we have to write that. And that's what I love about songwriting. When you come up with new ways to say something that totally describes it, mm-hmm. you know? So is that your thing? Where did you hear that somewhere? Or did it just pop out one day?
I literally was like struggling, as you guys knew. I feel like I've gotten like a little bit better at it, but like I was trying to play those bar chords. I came in, I was like, y'all help me out because like this is not working out.
They're tough when you're first starting.
Yeah. But it was really, really cool. I feel like when I first got here, I was chasing this like blues thing. And mm-hmm. My sound has definitely like changed since then. But you know, we kind of started forming that and that was really, really cool. But I loved like the chords and the way that things sounded, but I really drew an inspiration, like John Batiste, Please Don't Copyright Him. Mm-hmm. But he has a song called Cry, and yeah. I kind of like heavily drew inspiration from that because he's like my favorite artist. Him and Jason Mraz are huge inspirations.
Wow.
Two separate entities, but like, actually, well, hold on. Jason Mraz, John Batiste, and Ed Sheeran. Those are my big ones.
Yeah,
but
those are big ones. Yep.
John Batiste is like, I've been a supporter from day one, and I love his We Are album. If there was an album I would like die over, it's definitely that one. Like, he's so good, and I have been blessed to see him twice. One at the Ryman, one at the Terragram Ballroom in LA when he first started. Wow. But I did draw inspiration from that song heavily because I loved his like chords and his just like, it sounded so 70s and it was so cool. It was like the horns that he had on it. I just fell in love with it. And I definitely felt inspired to write a song that just made me want to groove as similar as that one did. And so as soon as I wrote it, I was like, this is sick.
This is it. This is it. Yeah. All right. We'll check out this. Again, recording at Connie Q here at Nashville. And these tracks are spectacular. Kennedy Taylor, Songwriter Connection Podcast. I love how you put that false ending in there.
That was all Paul Childers, let me tell you. That was his idea.
I'm not surprised.
That is absolutely amazing. What'd you think when you first heard that track when you got it back?
Oh, I was just like, chills. Yeah, it was really, really cool. I was just so excited to see something that I'm so passionate about come to life. So I was just on cloud nine, really.
I bet you were.
Which is exactly what, you know, Paul told Nick at first. He's like, dude, she's going to freak out when she actually has. Like, she hears really well-produced, like, product from straight out of Nashville. That I just wasn't exposed to that yet. Absolutely. In California. Like, I feel like I hadn't seen, like, Nashville producing. It was just crazy.
And he is. He's a unique genius in this town. I'm glad you found him. Because like we talked earlier, if you don't get the right producer, you won't, your dreams won't come true, but he made them. And so you did, you were right. You're a smarty figuring out that guy, you know, picking him because he was the perfect choice you could ever get in this town of anybody.
How did you find him?
I found him through Nick. But my main thing is I want my producer to actually believe in the project and love and have a passion for it just as much as I do. But you know, do it because they love it and not just for the money, obviously.
What you're saying, yep.
But it's mostly just like, I want them to not just see me as another paycheck, but see it as like a, you know, passion project of like, oh, you know, I would love to have my name on this. But it's just been, I've gotten that vibe and, you know, we worked very well together and we made those songs. I was like, this is cool.
You know,
yeah.
I hope you realize, listening, listeners that are writing songs today, how important the production process is in the songwriting process. It really can make or break your song, can it?
Yeah, and we forget that producers are also artists.
Yeah.
And so they're part of an artistic team.
Yeah.
And they
usually will multi-instrumental.
Yes. Yeah. And so we forget that because you hear producer on, it's mysterious.
Right.
But they're artists themselves and they sculpt a song. They're the sculptors of the song.
They really
artists,
are.
The artist brings them the clay. They sculpt it into what's beautiful and trying to help them, that vision come out.
Yeah.
And when you get a combination with Kennedy's music and Paul, that's the beautiful pairing that you always wish and hope for that you can get with your music.
Yeah, that's true. And when you talk about sculpting and adding different layers, like you were saying in the song before with the accordion, the squeeze box in there, and adding a new layer into it that you probably didn't realize at first, and then thought, man, that really made this song. I'll tell you another one. This other one I'm going to play for you next. He says, you know, I think we should put some horns into this one, and we're like, yeah,
of course. Yeah.
Let's do that.
Only makes sense.
Only makes sense. And this is another one of those special songs with that Saint Nick guy in mind.
this one is more, I feel like we wrote this as a empowering song, you know, something that I want not just women, but anybody to listen to and feel like empowered and just inspired. Like, you're dangerous. Like, you're beautiful. Oh. Like, go get it. You know
what I
mean?
Oh, we're going
to
do that one.
Oh, I was talking about Make You Mine.
Oh, my God. I didn't realize we were doing that.
That's all right. Yeah. Which one did they add the horns to?
That was both of them, actually.
Both of them?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but if we're talking about Make You Mine, that one is about, you know, I feel like as I'm living my life and going through it, I feel like I just love writing about what I feel like I have experienced. And for the longest time, I really wanted to write that. I really just wanted to know what love was like, but I had never really had been exposed to that. Mm. It's like singing Tennessee Whiskey, but like never trying whiskey, which felt that as well. But
yeah. Fair
when
enough.
I was little, yeah, I did do that. But it was... No.
The whiskey?
No. I didn't. I've never had whiskey and I sang the song. Let me clarify. Yeah, definitely some. But okay.
Glad we clarified that.
Yeah. That song was so beautiful to write because I feel like I was just experiencing like the very early stages of that for the first time. And it just, you know, I was always waking up with a smile on my face. I was like, how do we put that into words? And we just came up with that.
This is how we did it. So let's see if this plays right. You just said it. Okay, there you go. Here we go. Oh, this is one of my favorites. This is one of my four favorites.
Me too. One of my four favorites, yeah.
Listen to this one.
You are the last thing that I saw come. You made me feel like I'm more of a woman than I've ever been. Than I've ever been. That's why I find myself
Kennedy too there. And you know, if you listen real carefully in the background of that song, you'll hear Scott Barrier.
I can't help but sing along.
Yeah, that was funny because, can we tell the story? Can we tell how I ended up singing background
vocals?
I'm like,
vocals? What story? Yeah. Yeah, well, you can.
Well, there were some background singers that were hired and one ended up not showing. And Paul looked at me, he's like, can you carry this? And I was like, you mean sing like really high? I'm like, I got to go back to my metal days when I used to sing really high metal. And somehow I channeled that. I don't know how I hit those notes. Mm-hmm. I didn't think about it. I just did it.
Yeah.
I just did it. You can't God. Think. You just got to. But here I was with these world-class background singers and me. I'll sing.
Right when we needed it.
I stepped up.
It sounded so good.
And let me also just give credit where it's at. Daisy came in. Her real name is Sadie, which I had called her Daisy for literally entire time I knew her. And she's like, you realize it's Sadie, right?
I love her so much.
I'm sorry.
I was calling her Daisy, too.
Well, it's her stage name. But she flipped it. She's so smart. And I so admire her because she is just such a entrepreneur. And she knows exactly what she's doing. She's got a little TikTok niche.
She
came in and she was such a sweetheart. And she needed it for free. Mm. Didn't need to pay her to come in. And she had a smile on her face. And she showed up and was happy to be there. And I was like, she needs more recognition for that. And I just wanted to shout her out because that went miles in my world. And I just, you know, I fell in love with the song. And her voice sounded so beautiful on it as well. Mm-hmm. So it was
really
just
does.
A big thank you, especially to you two, for filling in.
Yeah.
We really needed somebody.
She was really fun. She was really easy to work with. And it's one of those people you just feel comfortable with. So you can go right mm-hmm. into the zone and really find a nice place. So we actually had fun in the booth. We were joking around and the whole thing. So that made it even better.
It is so cool.
It's like we gelled right off the top, you know, creatively. And off we went. And
I just love how it turned out. And, you know, it's got that jazzy, bluesy kind. Let me ask you this, dude. How do you describe your music? When people say, what kind of music?
I don't know.
You don't
like,
know.
I say soul pop to like, you know, just I
soul
say...
Pop.
Yeah, I say like soulful pop, but I really don't even know. I was talking to Nick about this and I was like, dude, I don't even think my music even falls under a specific genre because like, especially with like compared to, you guys haven't heard some of the stuff that acoustic stuff
recently.
That I've been writing, but it's very different. I don't even know what kind of a genre it really shapes into. But I mean, because then you have Million Times, which I would say is probably the most accurate to what I've been writing today. Mm-hmm. You know, is like it sounds similar in that sense. But all the other stuff, I'm like, I don't know. I don't know how to put myself in a box because I don't know what genre it is.
Well, don't. That's
don't even worry about it. Just do it.
Well, I guess that was poor wording. Not like putting yourself in a box, but just knowing like what genre it is. It's like I just say soul pop. And I'm like, well, I guess that's what it is.
It kind of sits there. Yeah, it kind of sits down those lanes. So
there you go.
Yeah.
I like it. I think that's as good a description as any. Right there, soul pop.
I mean, I can tell you my inspirations, you know, as I did, but
well,
I pull...
Batiste? Who else?
Oh, yeah. John Batiste is a huge inspiration. I just love his musicianship, and he is just such a good artist.
He really is.
And I literally, like, cried the first time I saw him. I was, like, touching his shoes. I was like, hey! You know,
oh, my gosh.
Like, I was that close. I made my parents sit on, you know, the streets of L.A. There's syringes on the ground. It smelled like pee.
Oh.
And, I was like telling the band members where to go because we were there 2 hours in advance. He wasn't that big yet. He was, it was like $45 for a ticket. And I was like, I'm buying. I bought an econ class. I was like, huh, economics, you know,
there goes my
feeding
money
into the business here, but the micro and the macro, I bought tickets. And I was like, I told my mom, I was like, you're coming. And then my dad bought a ticket. He's like, I want to go. You just exclude me. All right. So we all went, I made him sit out there for like 2 hours. And I was like, all the band members that were pulling up, he's like horn players. I was like, yeah, I think they went like to the back. I was like, you can't go in through the front entrance. So I was like, sounds good. And there, I had to tell everyone, I was like, oh yeah, go to the back. And I'm just sitting there. I was the first person in.
There was
a piano in the center of the room. And like my dad told me, he's like, you know, he could play in the center of the room. Like he's probably going to do that, the piano stage there. I was like, ah, who cares? I'm gonna go to the front row. And I had to fight like 20 other kids, like, you know, reaching for his shoes as well. But it was magical. And I feel like that was the first moment that I really had, that was the best to this day concert I've ever seen. It was just such an intimate experience. And his piano playing was amazing. Jason Mraz is a huge one.
He's great.
I love his writing.
Yep, he's amazing.
His musicianship as well is just like, he's from San Diego, but his writing is just so unbelievable to me. And his funky chords and, you know, Make It Mine, which is kind of funny. We didn't even try.
Make It Mine.
I love his, you know, We Steal, We Dance, We, you know, that song, that album for the life of me. But I love that album so much. And it's just so magical. And even his new album, you know, he's got that funky kind of groovy, you know, I Feel Like Dancing.
Jazzy too.
I love his stuff. Yeah. And he just really has exactly what I'm like, this is freaking good. I love Ben Rector too. I draw Rector's a lot of inspiration good. From
That's
Ben Rector.
And you liked,
I love his songwriting.
Too.
Yeah, what about Amy Winehouse?
Yeah.
I have honestly come to a point where, yes, she did draw inspiration, but she's not who I want to be as an artist. You know, I want to be not put in that box of I want to sound like Amy because I kind of want to be my own thing and my own entity. But at the same time, she was a huge inspiration, like especially growing up. But I feel like I've really tried to groan and like, you know, differentiate myself from that because I feel like a lot of people that I meet in Nashville will try to put me in that box or say like, you know, you are Amy Winehouse. I'm like, no, you know, I want to be Kennedy Taylor. I want to put out my own stuff. Yeah. So
there was an Amy Winehouse.
In a respectful way, I want to put my own stuff out and not be, you know, put in that, like, I don't want somebody to think of me and think of Amy Winehouse at the same
time.
That
is very fair.
That is very fair. That's right on, actually. Yeah, I do. Well, let's get to this last track I want to play. The reason why I say this for last is because there's so much to talk about in this song. I mean, I think this is one of the, we talk about sync opportunities, syncing to movies in music. And the first time I heard this track, I thought, wow, this is James Bond, man. This is a Bond movie for sure. And the story, if I remember, is this the song that you dreamt the progression,
he did. Scott? This was magical. You guys got to hear this.
I knew. Yeah, it was funny because, you know, I was kind of brainstorming a little bit before a write that we had, and but I didn't come up with anything. But about 4 a.m, this music woke me up, and these lyrics woke me up, and I was really tired, and I was like, I'll get to it later. Of course, if you do that, if you don't do it,
then
and there, you're probably going to lose it forever. So I got myself out of bed at 4 a.m, and went and found a guitar, and I just played what I was hearing, because it was still there after I woke up, and that
that's
doesn't always happen.
One time.
And that's the weird thing about me. My entire life I've dreamed music that's never been created or written. And I try to capture it if I can. And that was one of those moments where it was just so loud. It was like, I'm not leaving you alone. You're getting out of bed. And so I got up and I found that progression. And then the lyrics started coming for at least the first verse and kind of into the chorus. And that crazy first line was singing to me, and I was like, ooh, I wonder if Kennedy would, she seems so sweet. I wonder if she'll like this song.
I feel like that's what we needed, though.
Yeah.
It's like, it's so cool to write that. Like, it's just very, like, not even female empowering, but just like, if you listen to that, that sounds like something James Bondish, but something that you want to be like, this is like bad.
Like, we can say ass.
Well, badass. Okay, yeah, I didn't know if I could curse on here. It's like, it's badass. You know, I want to feel good. I want to find something that I can. And I don't hear anything with horns like that anymore.
No, not and like so, that.
Like, I mean, obviously, Jason Mraz and like, you know, there's some exemptions, which my inspiration still do.
Yeah.
like, But it just is so, like, I want something to be able to make other people feel good. And I feel like you just dreamed that.
I did.
Came in and I was like, this is magical. This is what I, it was on my bucket list to write a song.
Wonderful. It was really the universe was just lining us up for this. I'm telling you.
It really was.
It was just like.
We were so excited after writing it. Yeah. We went over to my living room in front of the TV.
I still have that janky video. I got to post that.
In front of the fireplace.
And I had god awful bangs. Let's mention that. I was wearing an Amy Winehouse sweater.
Yeah, ironically.
Ironically, as I'm like, you know, respectfully. No, but it was very, and I was like doing some like god awful riffs. So I was like, wah. And I was
it's
naive.
It's probably still out there somewhere.
I was naive, Kennedy Taylor. No, it was great. And I feel like that was really just the start of it. Little did we know we would record it.
Little did we know, but here it is. Let's play it. Listen to this. This is amazing.
You call me angel because you only saw my wings, but not my tarnished halo. You didn't know my checkered history. Got the wrong impression by my innocent expression, but that's not what you're getting. Hold a candle to poison and stilettos. I'll give you more than you can handle. You're walking into danger, playing with that holy fire. Regret what you desire, cause I'll save her. Playing games with your head, spin your attitude my into danger.
Yes, yes, yes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What a crazy. Real dangerous.
Go out with a bang. Hey, oh, man. Cheese and crackers. Yes.
That one's pretty such awesome. A closer, too. Yeah,
it is a closer.
Nice. It really is. Yeah. Hey, if there's any James Bond producers out there looking for a new song, you know.
Or at least some trailer music for some movies, maybe. Yeah, some movies. Just throwing it out there.
Right. No, I can see the opening series, you know, of a James Bond film. That'd just be perfect. Like Goldfinger, something like
that. Yes.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Why not? Awesome.
Magical. That was so magical. I mean, that song was probably the one that came to life the most, where it just really developed over time.
It really did. It's amazing what it became.
And it was so complicated that it was so hard to get right. It was like, you can't mess this song up. And it was so hard to like, we kept adding things in. There was some like bongo section towards the end.
Yeah.
That was Paul's idea, I think. But there was the bongo section in the end. Like Nick was like, dude, this needs like some like percussion in it. He's like, it's just missing something. And so then we called Paul up. The song was already recorded. Uh-huh. And then we thought Paul was going to use Nick for the percussion, then Paul just like whips out the
Yeah.
There you go. Like, again. A great part there.
Oh, it was great. Yeah, and we're like, it needed this. Like, it sounds great, actually.
It did. It opened it up.
He just like did it in his own. We're like, okay, like, damn, go off. Yeah. It sounded great. But it really did come to life. And it took a long time. But that was, I think, like the final one, like the final straw. And we're like, wow. Oh my God, I have an EP.
Yeah.
Yes, you do.
Woo-hoo.
We're excited for you, man.
And by what date will they all four be out there?
So I'm thinking, you know, mid-August. Mid-August. All of them. Yeah.
Okay. Now, are you going to press up some CDs for folks? And are you going to call the project something?
I'm going to call it a million times. I've decided just because that was the one that it really started it all. I feel like that was like the initial, like that was like the actually the last one we recorded.
Was it?
Yeah. Because I remember being we already had those three that we were going to do in the camp. We're like, we need these. And then we wrote that and I was like, wait, Paul, we need to add this one in. I was like, wait, hold on. I was like, take backsies.
That's funny.
So yeah, that was the last one we did. But I feel like that one just had such a sentimental story behind it and the way that it happened. And I was like, I want to, that meant the most to me in my heart too. I wanted to call it that because it just was a reminder of, you know, all good feelings and just the start of like really the little one that we pushed in towards the end. It was like the tortoise and the hare. It was great. But yeah, that's why I wanted to name it a million times.
Plus, I was going to say, you tell your fans, okay, I need you to play this a million times each.
A million times.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Play
great
a million.
Marketing. Great marketing. We definitely thought about that when we wrote it for sure.
Absolutely. Well, I'm certainly hoping it's going to open doors for you because I think the production, the performance, everything about it just speaks Kennedy Taylor. And I just wish you so much success with this.
Thank you so much.
I really believe in your talents and what you are doing.
Me too.
And thanks for sharing it with Scott and I.
Yeah, thank you for letting us be part of this journey. It's been an honor to work with you and see you grow. I'm not going to get emotional.
I know, me neither.
Thank you guys too. Thank you for letting me be a part of it as well.
Heck yeah.
It's been amazing.
It has been.
It's been a journey, but it's been amazing.
It's been a journey and it will continue. Mm-hmm. Scott, always good to write with you and to spend time with you. Yes, you're my songwriting brother.
I know, man, from another mother. And thanks for having me. It's part pleasure. Of this as well, this podcast today.
Absolutely my pleasure. All the best to you all, and thanks for listening. Mwah. Don't forget to click and subscribe. See you next time.
We hope you enjoyed this intimate glimpse into the world of songwriting and found inspiration in the stories shared by our talented guests. Remember, the magic of music lies not only in the notes and chords, but in the emotions and experiences woven into every lyric. Until next time, keep listening. Keep creating and keep the melodies alive.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.